Hello everyone, this is Tanya from 12 Element Yoga and Wellbeing. Thank you for stopping by and listening to our guest on Mind the Gap podcast. I am here to discuss real life issues that we all face or can relate to from our experiences of being blissful on the mat and the realities of the world off the yoga mat. As students, teachers, or professionals working in the health and wellness sector, we all have a unique journey and experience to share. From gym owners to face yoga experts, we discuss it all. Each episode will give you a guest with a unique story to inspire and uplift you on your journey into health and wellness. Be sure to connect with me at Mind the Gap on Instagram and check out my upcoming retreats and more at 12 Elements Yoga and Wellbeing. Thank you for listening. Whether you are out running, walking the dog with your feet up after a long day, or cooking a slap-up meal for your family, I appreciate you for listening to Mind the Gap podcast. Please like, share, and subscribe to be updated for new episodes bi-weekly. Hi Steve, welcome to Mind the Gap. So I'm here today in Brussels and we're at Brussels Barbell. So welcome also Zoe as well. She's joining us in the podcast today. So Steve, I wanted to ask you straight off the bat, what is the difference between weightlifting and strength building?
So strength training for us, the way we define it, is increasing anybody's ability to produce force. Weightlifting is more, if we're talking about weightlifting in the competitive sense, we're talking about Olympic weightlifters who are competing to move lighter loads explosively, either overhead or catching into a squat sort of thing. Right. And then we're talking about bodybuilding, which is purely for the aesthetic.
Right.
Part.
Okay.
We're talking about strength training for the general population, which is the thing that is the most general adaptation and that matters the most for people as they age.
Right.
Our ability to produce force is the primary indicator of our quality of life. So in here, we teach people how to get strong. We find out where they are on day one. We teach them how to carry heavier and heavier loads progressively, safely, so that they can increase their ability to produce force. And when that happens, backs feel better, knees feel better, hips feel better. You generally feel better, you look better, of course, but the quality of life improves along with it. So that's why we start there.
Okay. So let's start a little bit from the beginning then, Steve. Like, just who are you? So let's start from where were you born and where did you grow up?
I was born in Kamloops, British Columbia, Canada, which is in the interior part of the west coast of Canada, in British Columbia. And my family moved to Victoria on Vancouver Island when I was six, and I was raised there. Left home when I was 17 to pursue an academic career in the U.S. on a basketball scholarship at Santa Clara University in California. And when I was 21, I became a professional. I came to Europe and I played 13 years as a professional all over Europe.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is that what brought you to Brussels?
Yeah, my last season was in Belgium, in Brussels, so I just stayed. I had been gone from home most of my adult life, and Brussels, I was here for a year already. And it seemed like a decent place to set up shop, so I stayed.
So how did you get from playing professional basketball into strength training? What was the transition? What inspired you? Was it an injury or was it just a natural progression for you?
I think it was a natural progression.
Okay.
Any competitive sport and weight training are synergistic. One often goes with the other. So I lifted all throughout my career, but I didn't lift properly. And the older I got in my career, when I got into my 8th, 9th, and 10th year, I started to realize how important it was to stay healthy, to stay strong. So I started spending a lot more time in the off season and during season making sure I was strong. And I knew when I finished, after having played for so long, I wasn't interested in being in an office. I knew that for sure.
Yeah.
I didn't know what I wanted to get into. I come from a family of teachers, so teaching came naturally to me, and I was really interested in learning how to do this stuff, helping others do this stuff. So it was kind of a natural flow for me to get into this.
And so obviously Brussels, because you ended up landing here. So what was your inspiration, though, for starting a strength studio in Brussels? Because it's a little bit different to, and there's not a lot of people like in the health and wellness in, and I'm sure when you started in the industry in Brussels. So what was it like setting it up?
Well, I think the first thing comes with the credential. So I'm a starting strength coach, and there's about 140 people who have this credential in the world. That's probably the most sought after, the most highly recognized, highly valuable credential in the fitness industry.
So who started it then?
So there's a gentleman by the name of Mark Ripito who wrote the books on this stuff. So Starting Strength is actually a textbook. It's a 350-page textbook that goes into the only book that ever been written that goes into great detail on the main barbell lifts, the squat, the press, the bench, the deadlift, the Olympic lifts, the accessories, how to do them, how to teach them, the mechanics of each, the whys and hows in huge detail. And people who have this credential have read through the material, have studied the material.
It's quite lifters, intense. I just read a little bit already what you have studied, and I was really impressed.
Very deep. So when I came across it, I wanted to become the first coach in Europe who had this thing.
Right.
And once I got it, my business partner and I thought, what better time now at the start of COVID? Let's maybe do something here and become the first branch of this enormous brand in the U.S., to set foot in Europe and try to grow up from there. So really, we were the first ones in Brussels to do that. There's not many places to train for strength.
There's not.
No. There's the commercial gyms, which everybody has. There's the discount commercial gyms. There's really high-end fitness clubs.
There's a lot of low-end.
Yeah, a lot of low-end. And there's the high-end ones that are more health clubs, which are more, those are more social settings.
Aesthetically and social settings.
Exactly. Yeah. Versus people who actually want to come and train and get something. Yeah. There's not a lot of middle ground in there.
There's not.
No.
So when I heard about it, I was super excited because, as I said to you before, there's a lot of yoga students that have injuries or a lot of yoga students that want to build strength but are not quite sure how to go about it and don't have a lot of people that have the knowledge in the bigger gyms as well. You kind of get lost and you end up just like on a cardio machine or doing what I used to do, which is really bad, is just go in and do your own thing and really not getting the really good results that you need for the yoga and sometimes injuring yourself as well.
Sure. This is common. I mean, the gym can be an intimidating place to walk into. If you don't know what you're doing, you assume everyone in there already does and you feel like you're out of place.
Yeah.
And it's hard to step in there and start doing things when you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Especially here, most of the fitness industry is not the most technically qualified group of individuals helping people get stronger. So there's a lot of white noise that you have to sift through and you can waste a lot of time. It's hard to find a place you can actually get something done where you're monitored, where you're coached so that you can actually make the progress that you're there for.
Yeah.
So that's what we're trying to do.
And I wanted to go into a little bit of detail of what is the difference between all of the kinds of equipment that you use, like the dumbbell, and we have straps here, we have these, so I don't know anything. So can you explain a little bit what you actually do in the lifting? And like if someone comes in off the street and they want to learn strength training, is there like an introduction? Like how do they know what kind of weights to lift? Like what does someone start from?
Right. So we're primarily a barbell gym.
Yes.
So we use the barbell. And the reason we use the barbell is because it's the only fitness tool that is ergonomically loaded to be friendly to handle heavy loads for normal human.
The barbell is what you put on the back, and that's when you do the squatting and stuff.
But exactly.
You only just use that particular. Yeah.
In our daily lives, humans squat down. They pick things up. They push things overhead. They pull on things. This is how human bodies function, and we can load those normal anatomically normal human movement patterns with a barbell, and we can start with very light weights, tiny weights for someone who's just starting, up to the strongest people in the world and everyone in between. Other tools can't do that. Machines don't do that. And more importantly, the barbell forces the lifter to operate the load themselves against gravity and stay in balance while they're doing it.
So how do you know where to start off with someone? Like what weight should they lift at? So like starting from me, I'm sure you could look at me and think, okay, you're probably starting at this particular weight.
It's always so, when someone walks in the door, you can get a general sense of what they're going to do. But when we teach the progressions, we teach people in depth how to do this thing. And it always starts with positioning unweighted. We teach them how to come out of the bottom of the squat.
Right.
And I can tell by the resistance I give you when you first learn how to do this, what kind of strength we're dealing with here.
And when you say squat, there's different ways to squat, isn't there? I've read that you should squat not so low, and then people are like, you should squat below your knee joints. Like, what is the correct
So squatting? For us, we are squatting in a way, like I mentioned before, that we're trying to get stronger. we're interested in getting
in
stronger.
In the thighs and the hips?
The body.
And the whole body yeah. into
so
account when you're
we
squatting.
We don't care about individual muscle groups, except that we want them involved in what we're doing.
Yeah.
The quads never work independently of the hamstrings, that work independently of the glutes or the low back and vice versa. We always make sure we load as many of those as we can.
Yeah.
And we do that, we come up with a style of squatting, which we call the low bar squat, which is okay. placed a little bit further down people's backs than you would typically see in a gym.
Okay.
With the bar up on their necks. And it forces you to have a more horizontal back angle, which is more bent over when you squat. For us, the depth that we're looking for is always going to be the crease of the hip. So where your okay. hip joint meets your torso, the crease yeah. just below the top of the patella or your
okay.
knee. For that's for us the most effective range of motion. Anything lower than that is going to necessitate the relaxation of the low back, the hamstrings, the glutes,
the calves.
We get
a lot of lower back pain
sure.
and injuries and things
sure.
like that.
Okay. Right. And for us, we're not doing quads. We're not bodybuilding. We're
yeah.
trying to get people stronger. So we don't want to turn off or to relax certain muscle groups to get 2-3 more inches of depth.
Yeah.
I want everything loaded properly so we can get strong. So that's how we squat in here, and everyone squats this way in our gym.
There's, okay.
People have limitations for sure that we work around, but 95% of the people are squatting this way in our gym.
And is there like a warm-up to start, or do you just come in and
yep.
start squatting?
No, of course not. So we have someone come in on day one, teach them how to squat. We teach them what their feet should look like roughly. We have them squat down without any weight, positioning their elbows where we want them to be, and teach them and put them, someone is manually in the position we want them to be at the bottom of the squat.
Okay.
They can feel what that's like.
Yeah.
And then when they learn how to come up out of the bottom, we teach them how to drive their hips and think about driving their butt out of the bottom instead of extending the knee or pushing the floor. And we'll block that when they do it to teach them what that should feel like when they push up against some resistance.
Okay.
And once we get a sense of how hard they're pushing,
yeah.
we know what bar to start with, and we start
okay.
from there.
Okay.
And we'll have those people squat in sets of five reps at a time, in progressively heavier weights until we get to a weight that we think on that first day they can maintain as close to perfect form as they can without it breaking down. And we stop at that weight, and they'll do their three sets of five across, and we stop on that day.
Okay.
And the next time they come, they're doing the same thing with a little bit more weight. And the next time,
okay.
a little bit more weight. And the next time, a little bit more weight. And the weights, the jumps in weights aren't huge, but they're big enough where 4, 5, 6 workouts down the line, they're now 25 kilos up on their squat, and their knees feel better, the hips feel better, and they're stronger.
Does it also engage the core? Is there like...
Yes.
Much core engagement.
Huge
in
amount.
This
huge
as
amount.
Well?
Right.
Okay.
Huge amount. So the core is that you're talking about basically your trunk musculature,
yes.
right? And your abdominals contracted are the things that's going to protect your low back. We want to always make sure we have an anatomically normal lumbar spine, lumbar
yeah.
thoracic spine, not an overextension, of course, not inflection.
Yeah.
Because when we train, your back is a force transmitter and it needs to be held in extension rigid to produce the necessary transmission of force from the hips into the barbell on your back.
Okay.
So we make sure that we're always keeping that neutral loop of spine. And when people squat goes up, whatever they can handle on day one, let's say the person is squatting 23 kilos on day one with a nice flat back, everything is normal. When they're squatting 50 and the weights have gone up, everything between the floor and the barbell has gone along for the ride.
Okay.
We don't have to do anything special with a muscle group. We want everything's loaded at the same time, and they get progressively strong with everything else.
So it sounds like there's a lot more benefits in doing this strength training than just obviously going into a gym and lifting weights like haphazardly.
Yep.
And engaging the core is so important, obviously, for the spine and for longevity and for the body. But what are other benefits that you receive from strength training that you would not receive from just going into a gym and just lifting weights?
Exactly. That's a great question. So obviously, muscles, most guys are looking to get a little bigger and stronger.
Yeah.
Most guys. And they'll go to the gym for 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, 2 years sometimes, and nothing changes. They're
yeah.
doing the isolated body part, sets of 8, sets of 12, but nothing heavy. Muscles adapt to the stress to which they're applied, to what's imposed on them. And they adapt because the stress is high enough to force them to adapt and change for the next dose of stress. And taking the squat and the deadlift and adding the weights, they adapt and they get bigger over time.
Yeah.
But the most important stuff actually happens on the inside. You're talking about connective tissue integrity. You're talking about tendons, ligaments, and certainly, and very importantly, is bone and bone density.
Yeah.
Especially for women. Yeah. Women are more susceptible to things like osteoporosis, osteopenia, and bones. Most people don't realize bones are living tissue.
Yeah.
And they adapt to stress.
Yeah.
Always. If they're under no stress over time, as decades pass, what happens to the common phenotype of a 70-year-old, 80-year-old person that's sort of slunched over because everything is weak and frail. And when they fall, what happens? They break a hip, crack a hip. And at that stage,
that's everything goes wrong after that.
Big, big deal. Yeah. Bones are living tissue when they adapt to stress. When you're under a squat, your entire body is in compression. All the bones are being compressed. And they adapt to this compressive load by getting stronger and getting more dense over time. So someone coming in on day one, like I said, is squatting 22 kilos. When they're squatting 50, which is not an enormous amount, 50 kilos, the bones supporting 50 versus the bones that were supporting 22 are different.
Yeah.
They're thicker, they're denser, they're stronger, and they're better suited to carry you as you age, which really matters when we get older. So we wanted to make sure. Most people, if given the choice between getting under a bar and doing something hard that's going to change them positively or taking a pill, 9 times out of 10, the people are going to opt for the pill. It's the easier route because squatting is hard. It's scary sometimes. You get under the bar, it's heavy, not sure you can do it, but we're doing it for a reason. And the benefits long term are enormous.
Is there any difference then how you would start off a woman doing strength training to a man?
Nope. So that's a really common misconception is that it's way better now for sure. Way better now. But there's this common misconception that Pilates and yoga and Zumba or something like that or body pump are more suitable for women and only the big guys are squatting and deadlifting because that's for guys. And it's not true at all. Women aren't a special population. They're half the population. And you have knees and hips and a back like everyone else. And they can be loaded the same way. You'll program differently when weights get heavier. Women, for example, women will change the sets of 3 versus sets of 5 when it gets heavier. But at first, you're going to squat and deadlift and press and bench like everybody else and get real strong.
Okay.
And then we'll adapt as we go. But there's nothing different about starting a 22-year-old guy and a 65-year-old woman in terms of teaching and progressing at first. Changes will be made according to the person, obviously. But how they start is the same. You teach them the same way.
And what about results? Like how long into the practice of squatting do you see results? I know it's probably different for every single person and how often. How often would you recommend that you actually do the strength training like per week? Yeah. Like, is it an hour? Like you would just
So there's really not a time limit on it or a time minimum, right? Everyone's different.
So you can come in and spend like 2 hours or 3 hours if you got
2 hours. So two hours at first, 3 hours at first isn't necessary. Someone who's first starting out is going to be out of here probably in 30 minutes because they're just not very strong.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay.
Because they're not very strong. And that happens.
Basically, so once you've done your sets.
Yeah. So what you'll do a set and you'll rest. Here, we're not doing cardio. We're getting stronger.
Yeah.
Right. So we're going to take the time to recover between sets that's necessary to make the next set. If we're coming, if you have a weight we're going to do, if you're going to squat 30 kilos today, all we care about is that your 3 sets of 5 are completed, that you're ready for the next dose in a couple of days. We're not going to rush through this and miss sets and reps because we've rushed it. So you're going to take some time to rest between sets. Now, when you first start, that might be a minute and a half, 2 minutes at the most. If we got a big guy in here squatting 250 kilos for sets of 5, he might need 20 minutes between sets to recover.
Yeah.
In that sense, this person for the exact same workout is going to be here for quite a bit longer than someone who's 75, who's starting with an empty bar.
Yeah.
They might be out here in 25, 30 minutes first. And as they get stronger, those rest times get longer and they continue to go forward from there.
So how long does it take for someone to get stronger? Just like I know it's going to be like a general assumption, everyone's going to be different, but like, because you're doing the same thing and you're coming in and you have a program, I would assume like within a week or 2 weeks, people can start to see the difference in their bodies and feel stronger.
Yep. It happens really fast. Now, of course, everyone's body is different.
Yeah.
There's people who respond to weight training and get really big, really fast,
big.
And then there's some young kids who are real thin, who are hard gainers and they respond slower. They're getting stronger, but the physical changes might not be as dramatic as someone who's more prone to do that. But you're going to feel better second, third workout already.
Okay.
The big thing we're not trying to do, which is what everyone else, most people base their stuff on, is getting people sore. Soreness needs to be stated. Soreness is not indicative of progress. Soreness is the body's inflammation process, healing the body from doing eccentric loading to which it's not accustomed. So anytime you do something new you haven't done before, you'll be sore the next day.
Of course,
Constantly changing up routines and making people constantly sore is not the point of this. We're looking for progress, not soreness. If you keep having people come in and they're all the time sore, leave this place and they're sore the next day, they're not going to come back. Yeah. Especially older masters lifters north of 50, if they're feeling beat up and sore all the time, they're not going to come back.
So
we
is
want
there
progress,
like
not soreness.
A rest period like that you should have? Like you do the strength training like 3 times a week?
Ideally, in a perfect world, would okay. be great. As a start, a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday is great. So you train, day off, train, day off, train, and then you got 2 days rest.
Okay.
And that works fantastically well.
On the rest days, would you recommend things like, I don't know, yoga?
Sure. So, right. So for us, certainly.
Pilates sure. or.
So certainly for us at the beginning, it's not going to affect what we're doing, right? Mm-hmm. So our job when people come in here is say, we're going to make you strong. So all we would ask is that when it gets heavy, don't do anything that could potentially impact what you're going to do the next day.
Right. Okay.
So let's say you've got a big, strong guy in here and he squatted really, really heavy on, pardon me. Let's say we have a strong guy in here. He squatted very heavy on Wednesday. He's got to squat really heavy again on Friday, heavier than before on Wednesday. We wouldn't want him running 20 kilometers the night before.
Right. Okay.
But at first, people can do yoga. People can apply. People can go for a run. People can do all kinds of stuff. It's not going to affect it, except that when it gets real heavier, when it starts to get heavier, try not to do things if getting stronger is what you want.
Right.
Not to impact what you're going to do the following day, because the adaptation we're looking for is strength. We want to get stronger. So we don't want to do anything that's going to compromise that at first, because we want to maximize his time we have to get strong fast.
And what about diet? Does that play a role?
Yep.
Protein, like if someone's like vegan or vegetarian, like because lifting, you know, it takes a lot of the body, and you can definitely feel that your body then is going to crave more protein. You need to also be balanced in your body to be able to lift, right?
Yeah.
So do you have like a nutrition advice or?
At first when people start, all we ask them to do is make sure to eat enough to recover.
Right. Okay.
Most, if we're talking about guys in here, most guys come in here are thin and a little bit underweight.
Okay.
And need to get a little bit bigger and stronger. We want them to eat to recover for the next workouts. We just tell them, just go eat, right? Don't eat burgers and pizza, but eat enough to recover, right? Eat enough. If someone's coming in here and they are quite heavy, quite obese, we'll put them on a more calorie restricted at first.
Okay.
But it's not because they have so much extra body mass anyway, they're going to burn that up as they train.
Yeah.
But at first, we don't want to sit down with anybody and say, you got to squat, press, bench, and deadlift. Plus, we're going to watch what you eat at first. Make sure we get strong first. We're trying to get stronger first. Once they're stronger and everything is going the right way, then we can sit down and talk about, okay, things are getting hard and heavy now. Which direction do you want to take this and how do we eat accordingly, right?
Okay.
But at first, we're not too worried about the details. Just make sure you're eating enough to recover, because what we're doing here is biology, right?
Yeah.
Stress recovery adaptation. We're going to stress the system with the workout. You're going to go home and recover, eat and sleep, and you're going to adapt for the next bout of stress that comes in 48, 72 hours.
Right.
Just make sure you're recovering enough to go.
So. And for those people that are completely new coming into the gym, into strength training, do you have, like, how many trainers do you have here? And do you have female trainers? If someone just feels like they're more comfortable to work with a female, I think there are some people that just feel maybe a little bit more shy in regards to coming in, particularly if they've not done a lot of exercise, a little bit overweight. So
yeah, totally.
Can you give me a rundown on the trainers that you have?
So we have, I'm the only coach certified with Starting Strength here, and we have 4 apprentices currently here.
Okay.
We have the unique thing about our gym is that since we're the only one in Europe, people have come from all over the world to learn how to do this here.
I've noticed that. I've seen people come from different
places. Starting Strength has a franchise model in the US, but learning there requires a visa.
Right.
It's tough to get the Europeans. Yeah. So we have an Italian who joined us.
Great.
He moved from Milan. We have a Bulgarian who came from Sofia, and we have a Brazilian who came from Sao Paulo.
Oh, wow.
And our first female, Chloe, is actually local from Liège. So we actually do have a female. That's right. She's in the back there.
I just met Chloe.
Yeah. She's back there.
She's strong.
She is strong. I think the great thing when people first come in, they have an idea that this is some kind of a bro gym because there's barbells.
Uh-huh.
And they walk into a full class and they see 5 out of the 8 are women.
Yeah.
And they go, oh, and it's women between 25 and 60, and they go, oh, this is maybe not what I thought it was. This is forever. We can have a class with a 15-year-old and a 75-year-old, everyone in between. Classes sometimes are all female, sometimes it's all male, it's a mix, but we have about 48 or 49% female in this gym. It's half-half.
Okay.
It's for everybody. So it's not people have a misconception until they show up.
Yeah.
And they think it's a bunch of bros chest bumping each other, you know, and it's not.
It's not. It's really well thought out.
Yep. Yeah. Everybody's here.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Steve. I would now like to kind of like do a bit of a tour around the studio. We've talked so much. I want to go and see the equipment and see how it works. So
sure.
Thank you.